Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Today we begin a brand new five-episode message series called Merry and Bright, Leading Up to Christmas, as we celebrate this incredible season of Advent together, experiencing the joy and light of Christmas. It's hard to believe that we're stepping into that time of year, but we are, and it's an exciting thing. Each week, you're going to see one of our Calvary families do one of the readings and light another candle as we work towards the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. Now, with Christmas on the way, people are in high gear putting up the decorations. I don't know about your neighborhood, but in my neighborhood, it looks like the Christmas circus has come to town and collided with many different things. And so I got inflatable Red Barons with Snoopy on top of his doghouse and Frosty the Snowman and lights and trees, lights on the ground, projections on people's garage doors. It's quite a show right now. But you know what? Even more important than the preparation of our homes is the preparation of our hearts. And that's truly the essence of Advent. It's this beautiful season that reminds us to do just that, to prepare our hearts as we prepare the many other things that we prepare and get ready for when it comes to celebrating Christmas. Because we're not just celebrating a party or an event, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, the birth of Christ. And you know what? There was great anticipation leading up to that first Christmas as God's people waited and waited and waited, just like we're waiting today, except they waited for hundreds of years for the fulfillment of a restored hope, an eternal lasting hope. And so at the start of this week, we light the first candle today of Advent, the candle of hope. A big welcome to all of you joining us online, especially those of you that may have been invited to today's service. And maybe it's your first time. We want you to feel at home today and very much welcome. Let's continue to be committed to gathering together as a church. And although for the next couple of weeks we'll be meeting exclusively online, we're hoping to return for the Christmas season. So watch calvary.ca, our website, closely for details, because we're very excited about our upcoming on-site and online Merry and Bright Christmas Candlelight Grand Celebration on Christmas Eve. We'll have services at 3, 4:30, and 6 o'clock. And so the registration for the on-site gathering starts today. So don't waste any time. Get online, book your seats, because those seats will book up very quickly for Christmas Eve. So invite a friend. Pray about who you can bring with you. And jump on there today and reserve your spot. And for those of you that will be coming on site, we're going to have some live music segments. I'll be preaching live. There'll be snow for the kids, a Christmas story, our candle lighting. It'll be a wonderful, memorable time, a great way to end a very challenging year. And there'll also be snow, because it always snows on Christmas Eve at Calvary. And you know what? If anything changes, we will keep you up to date. We'll let you know that if our plans change because of any of the health orders within the city, we'll give you lots of advance notice so that you know. And as always, regardless of what happens in the city, we'll always be meeting online. So we're well underway with an incredible production for Christmas Eve, a wonderful service that will truly minister and bless you and your family. And so if you're not venturing out too far, you can bunker down in the comfort of your own home on Christmas Eve and join us for church. And you know what? It's never been easier to invite a friend or a family member to church as it is right now, because if they have a computer or a mobile device, they can be a part of what we experience each and every week. So invite someone. Invite someone this Christmas. All right, now before we jump into the Word of God today, let me just convey my deep gratitude to all of you who really stepped up for the annual vision offering this year. Calvary, once again, with a generous spirit, has shown up, even in the midst of challenging times. So thank you so much. Our offering, vision offering, will remain open until the end of the year if you haven't had a chance to participate yet. And so I encourage you to generously lean in this year during a particularly challenging year so that we can end the year strong. And we're praying for you. We're praying for you and your family, for your own financial situation, that as you have a heart for this house, that you would see God show up and be strong for your house. And so we're praying and believing for that. You know, watching the news today seems to have become a new pastime for many people. And it's not always a balanced meal. It's not always the best of things that we're hearing. But today it seems like people are watching the COVID stats every day in the afternoon closer than they are the hockey and football stats that are out there. People want to know what's going on in the city. And many times, whether those stats are completely legitimate or not, and regardless of your feelings on what that could be, it creates fear. It creates anxiety in people, and it can become very much overwhelming. And what little hope people have, sometimes they feel that as they watch those reports and they hear what's going on, they begin to feel the touch of hopelessness. They begin to feel what it's like for the light at the end of the tunnel to look like it keeps getting dimmer. We have some hope that things are going to open up, and then it locks down again. And so we get discouraged. And I don't know about you, but I find myself lately looking more actively for stories of hope. Many of the broadcast news programs will deliberately add a human interest story at the end of their program to share that this group is doing something to help the less fortunate. This person did something incredible. And what it does, these stories, it restores our hope. Temporarily often, but it's restored. You see, what hope means to most people is nothing more than wishful thinking or an emotional longing for something better. I hope this lockdown ends soon. I hope the cure for COVID is found. I hope my ship comes in. There's a lot of hoping that really boils down to nothing more than a wish. And this idea of hope depends on the circumstances of life, which could be hopeless or hopeful. It's very different for many different people. And we all know that life it's unpredictable, it's uncertain. And if you didn't know that, this year, 2020, has certainly proven that theory correct. But all of us have experienced hope. All of us know what that's like, how encouraging it is. But I think all of us, or at least most of us, have experienced what it's like to feel hopeless with a situation and how that affects us. But by contrast, the biblical word for hope doesn't mean just wishing on a star as it passes over or blowing out your candles and hoping for the best. You see, this hope, biblical hope, is a confident expectation or an assurance, an anticipation of something that God is going to do that we haven't yet experienced. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 19 says, "So God has given both his promise and his oath," both these things. It says, "These two are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie." You can take that to the bank. That's God's promise to you, what he's about to say. "Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge," we're all there today, "can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." It's a powerful picture. Now, it's important to understand the context in which these words were penned. The book of Hebrews is a powerful message written to encourage a people who are experiencing a crisis of their faith, the inevitable persecution that was rising around them brought about fear. It brought about a loss of hope as people begin to wonder when it will ever change. So the preacher writes to remind them that God has consistently taken the initiative to make himself known throughout the ages, that he's a God who speaks, and that in difficult times, in troubled days, he has spoken fully through his son, through Jesus. That's what Christmas truly, that the experience of Christmas, that's what it really boils down to. And with focused relevance for today, Jesus is still the final say of the Father. And he's still that anchor for our souls, that when the world is blowing and shaking, that it locks us in place. Some people are hopeful because they feel that the odds are in their favor. Others have hope because they're simply unrealistic, maybe, about life. But biblical hope doesn't depend on situations. It doesn't depend on personalities. True hope restored is rooted in the faithful, unchanging character of God and his promises to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold tightly." See, that's an action you need to take. You need to grab onto it and not let go. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise." I know many of you have met people in your lifetime who have made promises to you, and some of those promises have been broken, and it hurts. And so it causes us to become more guarded. But what I'm asking you to do today, even in the day that we're living, is to trust God, because his promises are assured. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 to 17 says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts." I want you to be encouraged today. "And strengthen you in every good deed and word." So here we see that hope is a great source of comfort. It's a great source of strength. God's hope can give us power to endure difficult things. Where wishful and just thinking or dreaming, all those things always just kind of come short. They lack the teeth that faith in God has. You see, it's in the ups and downs of life that we face that we understand that there's no guarantees of hopeful circumstances. But as Christ followers, as those who walk in his ordered steps, we remain hopeful no matter what life brings our way. Because our life and our future are not in the hands of a government. They're not in the hands of the condition of this world. Your life, my life, are in the hands of Almighty God. And our ultimate hope is the certainty of God's promise of salvation for each one of us, in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ followers have a living hope because we have a heavenly inheritance. And unlike the fading things that people place their hopes in here on earth, our heavenly hope will never perish. It will never lose strength. Many things that people hope for, the material stuff, doesn't really matter much compared to that heavenly inheritance. You see, what God promised and accomplished through Jesus was not just wishful thinking. Wasn't just a hope or a wish that we think that if luck shines on us that it will happen. You see, we await with eager confidence because our faith is grounded in his promise. That's true of Christmas hope. Hope restored is ensured in knowing the way, the truth, and the life. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. So, listen, why in such a difficult, challenging year would we ever say, "Hey, let's call our Calvary Christmas this year merry and bright"? It almost seems to be the opposite of what many of you have experienced. Well, listen, when you think about those words, the word merry actually means festively joyous. It's the uninhibited joy released by God's grace. And it's the freedom that flows from his forgiveness. So if you walk in Christ, if you've experienced that forgiveness, then you can have a merry life, not just a merry season, because of what Christ has done in you. And then you look at the word bright, which means shining with light. It's what we become when we experience the warmth of Christ's love that melts hard hearts and attracts weary souls. There's never been a day where that light has been more effective than it is now. So may your days this season be merry and bright as we continue to gather together during difficult times. Because that sense of merriment is something that comes from a joy that is greater than our own understanding of strength. And the brightness of his light in our life has changed us. And it's that life and that light in you that can change others, that can affect a city. We believe in Jesus' name for the welfare of the city of Vancouver, of the nation of Canada. But God has chosen to use you, his church. He's chosen to shine that light through each of you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Listen, the production of Christmas with all its magic, with all its sparkle, it means nothing if it doesn't project the light of God's love to all those who come searching, that are there sitting in the crowd, your neighbors, your friends, your family, who are feeling a greater sense of hopelessness this year than ever before. This is your opportunity to allow Jesus and the light of the Holy Spirit to shine through your life to be an influence to others. That's what leadership is. Leadership is influence. See, we need the light, and we are carriers of that light. We must learn to make this Christmas merry and bright, or risk losing it altogether. See, hope in Jesus comes from more than just a belief that he was once a baby in a manger. Our restored hope in him has been called an anchor of the soul. It's been called the light of the world. It's something deep within that secures us through the storms of life. It keeps us steady and stable. And it goes before us, illuminating our path, even in a dark hour. Now, putting your hope fixed in Jesus will do a few things in your life. Let me give you four of them. The first one that it will do is it will give you hope for help. You know, in this season of isolation, I want you to know, again, listen, you're not alone. The church is still here for you. And if you need help, reach out and ask for it. Talk to one of our small group leaders. Call the church. Our pastors are still here. We're standing with you. Those relationships as the church are still strong and ever in place. God has placed the church in your life for a reason. And in this season where the enemy has found an opportunity for spiritual attack, he's tried to pull you away and to isolate you, to draw you off on your own. And Jesus is calling you back. He's calling you back to stand with the church. And reaching out for help, asking for help, it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Because until you and I recognize our limitations, we will never step into the strength that he has for our lives. We're all invited to come and confidently ask for help. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." Come boldly. Step in. Come close to God. Don't be pulled away. Number two, when we put our hope in Christ, it gives us hope for victory. You see, the things that leave us feeling powerless, that leave us feeling hopelessness, that sense of hopelessness, it comes in many shapes and sizes. All kinds of different things can affect us. Have you ever been sitting in the middle of a day and you feel you're doing better for the most part, and then suddenly something comes over you and you feel hopeless? Somebody says, "Are you okay? What's going on?" You say, "I don't know. I can't even define it." Again, we are in a spiritual war, and sometimes we find ourselves walking into a dark place, and it's in that place that the Holy Spirit can be your strength in a time of weakness to give you that victory that Christ has promised. You see, with Christ's strength, you can overcome the obstacles that you will face. And our faith in Jesus gives us hope for the victory. 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Never underestimate your faith during this time. And again, your faith is not a private thing. It's not just a personal thing. Even though it is personal in its intimacy, it's not private in the sense that you put it away somewhere. Again, you need to let that light shine, because the victory of God comes through him working in and through your life. This is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith in him. Number three, when we put our hope in Christ, it also gives us access to a power. Hope for power. You see, seeing our weakness as the entry point of God's strength gives us access to that power. Bob Goff once said this. He said, "Fear only has the power we give it. Hope works the same way." Where are you giving power? To fear or to the hope that God has placed within you? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made what? It's made perfect in your weakness." I don't know about you, but I qualify for that strength every day. And number four, the last one, hope for eternity. You see, when we put our faith and hope in Jesus, it not only gives us help and victory and power for today, but it also gives us a hope for the life after this. It's the confident expectation of the ultimate tomorrow that someday will come. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope." Not just have enough of it to get you through the day or to get your family through the day, but to be overflowing with it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that overflow is for? It's not for you. The overflow of that hope in your life is for the people around you. The overflow of the hope of God within the church is for our city. It's for our community. It's for our nation that desperately needs that hope now more than ever. Let your light shine. Let that hope overflow in your life. See, the God of hope sent his son to be your savior. And he's only one prayer away. He's only one prayer away. That's how close he is. Listen, today, if you want to experience that confident expectation of his strength and have that wisdom for today and have his help and his hope for tomorrow, you need only to ask him so that you can experience hope restored for yourself. Today, as we take a moment to pray as we close our service, I want to ask those of you who need that hope desperately. Maybe you're walking with Christ and you've walked away. Maybe you begin to listen to the enemy's words more than the words of your Savior. But maybe you've come and you're watching online today and you need to experience Christ for the first time. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity. We want to pray with you. Our hosts online would love to stand and pray with you. Click on the hand at the bottom of the screen to let us know. And if that's you, put up your hand virtually wherever you are. If that's you, let me know by just clicking there so that I can pray with you, so that our team can pray with you. So I want to pray for those that don't know him, that today will experience hope restored. And for those of you that have walked with Christ that maybe have walked away from that hope, that truly it would be restored in your life to the point where it would overflow again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, right now I pray for all of those who have raised their hands wherever they are, in hotel rooms, in homes, on mobile phones, those listening to the podcast, wherever you are right now, whether you physically lift up your hand or not, in your heart, I want you to acknowledge the fact that you need him. And if that's you today, I want you to pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for dying on a cross for me. I thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Fill my life with hope. Restore me to a place where I can trust you, and that hope would overflow and encourage others. Now I want to pray for those of you that love God but are discouraged. Maybe you feel like you're stumbling under the weight of everything. I pray in Jesus' name to you, each one of you today, that God would meet you wherever you're at, and that you would sense the strength of your church around you, that you would sense the strength of the Holy Spirit right now, causing you to step out of the darkness and into the light. that once again hope would be restored in your life, and that you would begin to prepare your heart for the good things that God has for you. So today, in Jesus' name, we pray for both believer and those that are seeking, those that prayed that prayer today for the first time. We're thankful for that prayer, and we pray that it would be secured in each person's life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I want to congratulate those of you that have prayed that prayer for the first time. Please let one of our hosts know so that we can get you some resources and get you connected to the church in a deeper way. If you're here for the first time, fill out a visitor's card. You see it on the screen there, that you can fill out a digital card and let us know so that we can connect with you. And I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you to connect to a small group and to join us again next Sunday to continue to meet as a church. Now, as we close our service, I also want to take a minute to thank those of you that have been so faithful in your giving. From time to time, I like to just speak directly to you about how much I love you, how much I appreciate what you're doing. You are standing with the church, and the church is standing with our community. And listen, it's making a difference. I'm so proud of who Calvary is in our city. So today, as a final act of worship, I want to give you an opportunity once again to give. And as you watch online, again, we've made it simple. We've made it safe. You can click on give, or you can go to calvary.ca/give, or you can text the word Calvary CA to the number at the bottom of your screen. And I'm asking you right now, would you stay faithful, especially as we're closed down for whatever period of time? Would you stay faithful to what God's doing within the church? You see, here's why. The ministry of the church, the building may not be open, but the ministry of the church continues in your life, in your family's life, in our community. We're partnering with the City Dream Center right now to provide food hampers to needy families in the public schools, in the Adopt-A-School program, and we're so proud to be a part of that. You saw in the advertisements today that we're a part of our Christmas Spirit program to sponsor needy kids all around the world through our missionaries so that they can have food, they can have a gift, they can hear the gospel message. Your contribution can make a difference in all these areas, and it is. Your generosity is already giving stability to people during very unstable times. So again, thank you for your faithfulness, and I'd like to pray today for your offering. I'd like to pray for each of you, for God's financial stability to be in your life. Father, right now, bless every gift, bless every giver. Today, we commit ourselves to honor you with the best that we have, to give that tithe, to give our 10%, but to give beyond that, to be generous in our hearts. We pray that both here in the house, here at Calvary, and there at home, that God, you would bless. That you would bless every family, that you would help those that are going through difficult times. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Have an amazing week. Again, joining us online for our small groups, and then join us for our broadcast next Sunday at 9 and 10:30. Don't forget, today, our registration for our grand celebration candlelight services on Christmas Eve opens. So book your seat. Invite a friend. Have an amazing, amazing week. God's best to every one of you.